hello. I wish I was.
Welcome back to that 590 show.
I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good. I would call her.
Hannah Yates from The Hardline will be joining us here in about 15 minutes. But though, right now joining us on the Belmont Automotive phone line is one of our favorite guests, or our favorite callers, I guess I should say. He almost sees like a guest, though. There's his music right on cue. Baby O is joining us. Baby O, how are you, sir?
Let the music play. Just let it soak in for a minute. How you gentlemen doing this evening?
Good, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, first of all, I was watching the news and talking about the Blues and their organization. I understand they're going to have some fundraisers at the game tomorrow night to kind of aid the flood victims. I guess maybe go on their website and get some more information. But, you know, win or lose this series, the Blues has proven once again what a class organization they are.
Absolutely.
Do they do everything right in the front office and on the ice? No. But you got to have respect for the way they handle things. And, you know, this flood just started within the last week. So they put this fundraiser together pretty quickly with all the other stuff that's going on with the prospect of maybe being eliminated. So You got to get an APR staff a round of applause.
I agree with you on that 100%. And I thought that the last year after the Rams had left, I thought the Blues did a pretty good job of putting their arms around the community too, kind of saying, hey, you know what, it sucks that the National Football League is gone, but we're still here. We haven't left you. And it seemed like last year during that run, that playoff run, that the city kind of fell in love with the Blues again.
Yeah, and that's why I'm so glad that the city went on and got off their duff and decided to make those improvements for the Scott Trade Center. Because let's face it, you mentioned something earlier with the ticket tax and everything and the limited revenue the Blues do have coming in, they at least deserve a good venue, because they could have been gone a couple of times out of St. Louis.
Absolutely.
Because of different people around town, and you got to give, starting back in the early 80s, Harry Arnest decided to keep the Blues here, but he was a stopgap between them moving to Canada and staying here in St. Louis. So I just want to applaud them. Now, as far as the Blues and the Celtics are concerned, and Mark asked the question, you know, are you satisfied that they just made the playoffs? And, you know, look at what they did last year as compared to this year. Yeah, I expected them to make the playoffs, but I didn't think they would make the playoff run that they did once the season got going, and I saw what they were doing during the regular season.
Yeah, the way they looked in January.
Yeah, but let's face it. You know, and I've heard a couple of people talk about, well, you know, where the critics of Doug Armstrong now? You know, these folks say that they must have forgotten when Doug Armstrong traded Kevin Shattenkirk, he was basically giving up on the season.
Yeah, he even admitted as much. He didn't think the team was going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I remember a couple of quotes he said. I can't quote them verbatim, but he did say, you know, if he kept using the word if, you know, if we make the playoffs and everything. So Doug Armstrong didn't make a genius move when he got rid of Kevin Shattenkirk. He got rid of Kevin Shattenkirk because he didn't think this team was capable of going deep into the playoffs. So you know, I kind of laugh when I hear people saying, we're the Armstrong critics now.
Yeah,
Armstrong was his biggest critic.
And I heard a little bit of that, too, after he signed Svoboka, and as well as Svoboka played, you know, that the first game that he played back at that last game of the season against Colorado.
And
then he's been pretty good in the playoffs as well. So I've been hearing a lot of that, too, about, wow, you know, Armstrong really, you know, really pulled the right lever when it came to signing Vladdy back. So, I mean, it's kind of like that with Mozeliak, too. You know, when something works, he's a genius, and when something doesn't work, he's a moron. I mean, there's a great political term where success has many fathers, but failure is a bastard child.
Yes, that's pretty good. I like that. But no, Mark, we get frustrated as Blues fans, but you know, that doesn't mean And that goes with any sport in any city. You know, unless you're in a city like Cleveland with the football team or with the previous team, the football team we had here, you know, fans aren't going to give up on their teams. And I've never understood the term, well, it's unacceptable. I mean, Matt, can you explain to me what unacceptable means? I mean, if it's unacceptable, that means what do you do?
Well, to
me, I never understood that. You know, you say it, maybe the owner can say that, and then they make moves. But as far as the fans are concerned, when you say it's unacceptable, they are just going to quit going because we love sports.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I have yet to hear someone say they're going to quit, you know, watching the Cardinals until they turn it around, or going to the Cardinal games until they turn it around. Same thing with the Blues, too. The only fans right now, especially hockey fans, in my opinion, that could say this is unacceptable are the ones in the nation's capital. The Washington Capitals, man, I have no idea why they, like,
well,
every single year. Every
they're
single
the, they're the
year.
One fans. When was the last time that Arizona saw a winning hockey team? More than that, when was the last time Arizona saw a hockey team that could win 30 games?
When was the last
41?
Time Arizona cared about their hockey team,
that's
too?
It's a fair point, I'm just saying.
When the last time Arizona saw a winner in anything?
Well, that's true. I mean, the Cardinals, not this past season, but the season before, made it to the NFC title game, so.
But it's interesting, and Mark brings up the Chicago Blackhawks. Yeah, they had a Stanley Cup run, but they've got eliminated the first round the last 2 years.
Absolutely, and he kept bringing up the Washington Capitals too, who have been the signature, who have been the shining example of utility. I mean, all these great players. They have one of the best players in the NHL right now. When you say top three, it's him, Sidney Crosby, and probably Connor McDavid. So they have one of the best players in the NHL, and they can't make it past the second round because they can't beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and the problem is they don't have a hot goaltender.
Yeah, that's part of it too. Part of a discussion that Rocchio and I are going to have later is going to be like a comparison of Alexander Ovechkin and Chris Paul, because they're both kind of like the same thing. Chris Paul in the NBA, the best player to never win anything, never even make it to the conference finals in their sport, because Alexander Ovechkin hasn't made it that far with the Capitals either.
And to be fair to that one player, it takes a good player, a group of players around him too. Because I think if Chris Paul was playing on the Cleveland Cavaliers, they wouldn't be worse than what they are now.
Well, Chris Paul, unfortunately, has it going against him that he's playing in a sport where everyone has pretty much unanimously decided it's the easiest sport for one player to win a championship on his own or on his own merits as opposed to a full team. So, unfortunately for Chris Paul, he's in the one sport where that argument has so little cachet, because if you're a superstar, you're supposed to be able to carry a team, and he hasn't done it.
And the Washington Capitals, they won the President's Trophy this year for the most points. So, I mean, they were the favorite to come out of the East.
And, Rocchio, you know, I understand that theory about you're supposed to make your players better. But if you look at most of the teams who have won the championships, and they've had good players. Now, players may be quote-unquote elevated, but they still have excellent, excellent players. I mean, even Michael Jordan played with a bunch of Hall of Famers on his team.
Chris Paul's playing with two All-Stars, two upper-level All-Stars the last 6 years.
And one that
can't
stay on the court.
Yeah, Blake
Griffin
can't stay
on the court. Healthy, they've also not won.
And here's another thing, too. I mean, like, it's got to be so frustrating if you're the Clippers, because you were basically there to see if you could beat the San Antonio Spurs or wait for their window to close, because that's an old team. And now what you've seen happen is that a San Antonio Spurs window has slammed shut, and the one that's flung open is the Golden State Warriors.
And also,
like, almost simultaneously.
This is crazy, but let's not forget that 10 years ago, L.A. Clipper fans, although I don't know if they existed, would have been begging to just make it to the playoffs.
God,
so
yes.
Let's not forget, we give the Clippers a really hard time right now for not being able to do anything in the playoffs. But again, this is a franchise that would have been down on their knees for a playoff berth before Blake Griffin arrived. So
for years they were labeled the worst organization in professional sports.
For good reason.
Bad.
Every one of their first round picks got injured for their entire career by three games into a season.
Either that or were just colossal busts. Donald Sterling was hiring these head coaches. He was almost like Al Davis, where he was hiring these head coaches and then run out of patience and then fire them. Like,
I mean, they were literally like the Sacramento Kings and the Philadelphia 76ers combined.
Yeah, they were.
And, you know,
just
I'll
a
never
joke.
Forget, my father used to say, and he also made me laugh. He used to bring up, they had the Clippers on TV one time.
Why?
And that's when I think Bill Russell was coaching. And my father said, the reason the Clippers aren't winning, their best players are all at suits on. They had Bill Russell, it was Elgin Baylor, was one assistant coaches, and it was another basketball player. My father said, that's why they're not winning.
Yeah, they're 20 years players, they're 20 years too old and wearing suits.
Yeah, the best players are in their 60s. Okay, take care, guys. You know, I'm loving the show as always.
Appreciate it, baby. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good night.
Mark, keep making the Texters happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, take care.
Thanks, baby. The Baldwin bottom feeder texting in. If Chris Paul would have actually gone to the Lakers, he would have had multiple rings. Maybe. I mean, those Lakers teams weren't very good either with Dwight Howard when he was there. Kobe kept getting injured in the playoffs.
He would have caught that Kobe and Powell year that they won the championship, didn't he? The trade was supposed to go down that year, and then Kobe and Powell won a championship, correct?
It was the year after, I believe.
Was the year after? Okay.
Yeah.
But the Kobe and Powell thing was still there, so he might have caught one at the end there. Because, again, they were going up against – the teams they were going up against was still the Orlando Magic or the Boston Celtics on that side. The Cleveland Cavaliers, but still.
If you look at the Clippers, you would think they had the talent to win a title.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
With Chris Paul and with Blake.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. J.J. Redick is one of the – one of the greatest shooters in NBA history.
Blake Griffin
can't
stay healthy.
And he's working with one of the best passers. That's fine, but they still lose when Blake Griffin's healthy.
Doc Rivers is trying to make sure that all three come back. DeAndre Jordan's still under contract.
Doc Rivers probably should have done something like not trade assets for his son.
Yeah. Doc Rivers, the general manager, needs to be fired, but I would hold on to Doc Rivers, the coach. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Hannah Yates from the Hardline, talk about the Blues Predators game tomorrow. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.